And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, folks. This is Thursday, and I hope your week has been going quite well. We had a lot of things happening, of course, in the news as some states tried to, shall we say, loosen things up and allow the economy to breathe again. But there are some folks who apparently don't want anything to do with that. Some people who think we ought to be locked down for as long as possible. Well, I think we now have nearly 20% of the people, the working adults in this country, out of work. 20%, folks. The number's 30 million unemployed. 30 million. That's about one-fifth of the workforce of the nation. And I'm just wondering how much further do these folks want it to go who think we ought to stay locked down forever? I mean, do they want everybody out of work? Probably, because I think some of them would love to turn us all into dependents of the state, turn us all into, in effect, slaves of the government. And you'll get your check in the mail. In fact, there's some complaints by business owners that now that they're trying to get their businesses open again, some of their employees are saying, why should I come back to work? I'll make less money working than I'll make with the handouts that are being given out. Here again, the law of unintended consequences, right? And we are going to have debt like nothing we've ever seen before when this process is finally over. And it's a sad commentary to think that we've got debt for people who are just choosing not to work as opposed to those who really cannot work or their circumstances are such or the business is shut down or the business can't open and so forth. The people who actually could work refusing to work. That's a pretty sad commentary. I talked about that yesterday. Well, look, you're listening to The Awakening. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson. Glad to be with you. This is American Family Radio. You can listen to us, of course, on any one of our nearly 200 radio stations around the country, or you can catch us on AFR.net. Our radio programming is live streamed. And let me remind you, by the way, that if you like a particular program, you heard something, well, my sister ought to hear that. My mother, my dad, my uncle, my buddy ought to hear that. My friend ought to hear that. All of our programs are archived. And so they're podcasts, and you can go to our website and look in the podcast label. And if you're looking for this particular program or one of my programs, go to The Awakening, and you can grab them there. And that's a big help to us, too, because it helps us to gauge the involvement of our audience. So anytime you think about a program that you'd really like somebody to hear, don't forget that that's there and available to you. I want to remind everybody, by the way, that tomorrow at 12 o'clock Eastern Time, I am hosting the live streamed event called Stand Against Communism. And folks, it couldn't come at a more proper time. This is, you know, we really need to be alerted to this evil, insidious ideology that is, to tell you the truth, folks, it is a bigger infection in our country than the coronavirus. It really is. Because we've got half of our young people infected with it. We've got pretty much all of our colleges and universities infected with it. We've got much of our public school system infected with it. And we've got most of Hollywood and the entertainment industry infected with it. And believe it or not, and now this is an incongruity that is difficult to get your mind around, but much of the corporate world in America is infected with it. I mean, did you all know, for example, that the Southern Poverty Law Center is actually the gatekeeper for the Smile program for Amazon? And we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars And the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a vicious, Marxist, racist, nasty organization that they're about as antithetical to everything this nation represents as you can find. Now, maybe their history goes back far enough that, you know, maybe at one point they had a valid purpose, but now they only have one purpose. Their purpose is to destroy Christianity, to destroy constitutional governance, to destroy conservative worldview, however that might be expressed, and to destroy anybody who represents any of that. And yet they are the gatekeepers for Amazon, for the Amazon Smiles program, which not only collects money that is given to charity, but it also gives out hundreds of millions of dollars to charities. And yes, they've got the Southern Poverty. So even the corporate world is infected with this Marxist, socialist, communist craziness. So folks, that's a much bigger virus, to tell you the truth, because there's a bell curve to this one we're going through right now. It'll peak, and in many places it already has. It'll recede. It'll go away. But this socialist, Marxist, communist virus, it will not go away, folks. It has to be killed, not the people. This idea, this insidious, wicked, evil idea, it needs to die. It needs to die an ignominious death, because it is responsible for the genocide of hundreds of millions of people. In fact, I think, actually I said hundreds of millions, that may be an overstatement, about 100 million people, I think all told, about 100 million people are dead as a result of communism, socialism, Marxism. And you can include Hitler in that because, of course, Hitler was a socialist. Yes, that's right, he was a socialist. Hitler was a leftist. He was a leftist, he was an authoritarian, and of course we're seeing the same thing expressed today. In fact, that leads me perfectly into what I wanted to open the program with today, which is how General Flynn, as many suspected, was apparently being railroaded by certain forces within the FBI that were interested in getting him and punishing him because, frankly, he blew the whistle on the Obama administration. President Obama did not like him. In fact, again, President Trump says that when he met with President Obama during the transition, President Obama warned him about two people. He warned him about Kim Il-sung, believe it or not, and General Flynn. Yeah, apparently he really had a strong dislike of General Flynn. Okay, fine. President's got a right to dislike anybody he wants, just like any other human being does, right? But when you start using the apparatus of law enforcement and government to try to entrap somebody and put them in jail because you don't like them, folks, that's not a constitutional republic. That is a banana republic. That is totalitarianism. That is authoritarianism. That is communism. And here again, you know, how can you draw that relationship? It's not membership in an organization that is the issue anymore. It is having these ideas in your heart that supplant the notion of what it means to be a free people whose inherent rights and freedoms come from Almighty God and living under a constitution that is designed to secure those rights. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. You know, the latest polls show that a majority of voters, 58%, favor reforming our election laws so that everyone in America can vote by mail. An additional percent, about 9%, back a one-time exemption this year because of the pandemic. Having the entire nation vote by mail is not a good idea, but it will take some convincing to sway the current push for nationwide voting by mail. In fact, there are five states, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, and Utah, that already conduct elections entirely by mail. Why is voting by mail dangerous? Well, first, the voter rolls are notoriously in bad shape. One study concluded that there are more voter registrations in 378 U.S. counties than there are citizens of voting age in that county. And some voters have moved away, others are registered more than once, and voters who have died are still on the rolls. Mailing out ballots to the entire nation means that hundreds of thousands or more are arriving at homes for people who no longer live there or who are registered at more than one location. There is great potential for voter fraud. Second, universal voting by mail raises significant security questions. These ballots are the only kind that are marked without any supervision from election officials. People can engage in election fraud. Voters might even be intimidated into voting a certain way. If someone is disabled or concerned about the virus, they can vote by absentee ballot in a majority of states. That has always been the case. Most all states allow early voting, which would allow citizens to vote when there isn't a crowd at the polling place. I think having the entire nation vote by mail is a bad idea, but I realize that it appears that most Americans want to move ahead with it anyway. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for healthcare. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. Two Democrats have confirmed Tara Reid's accusations against Joe Biden. Andrew Cuomo deliberately forces nursing homes to take in new patients infected with coronavirus. 30 million people have now lost jobs over this unnecessary shutdown. And Democrats like vote by mail for one reason, it's easier to cheat. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So folks, we're back. By the way, I mentioned our live stream event tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern time. I didn't tell you where to go for it. Let me remind you, you can watch that on my Facebook page, E.W. Jackson SR, or you can watch it on my YouTube channel, E.W. Jackson. It's also going to be on a number of websites, including standamerica.us, standagainstcommunism.com, and a number of others as well, which if you go to our websites, we'll have those listed. Or you may be part of an organization that is already sending stuff out to their people, because the organizations that are showing it, we've got over 30 other organizations that are showing it. They will be contacting their supporters and contributors and followers and letting them know how to watch it through their own websites, because we're making that available to all of our partners. So, by the way, I've mentioned the speakers aside from myself, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, Reverend Rafael Cruz, Jerome Corsi, Claire Lopez, and who am I leaving out? Oh my goodness, I should have had that in front of me. Who did I just leave out? Reverend Rafael Cruz, Alan West, Jerome Corsi, Claire Lopez, me, and whoever it is, forgive me. You know, I'm drawing a blank suddenly, but I'll come back to it. But at any rate, great, great speakers that we're going to have, and you all are going to enjoy every single one of them. Oh my goodness gracious, how could I forget that? One of my key partners, Trevor Loudon, of course. If you're listening, Trevor, forgive me. So Trevor Loudon is an outstanding researcher and has done some tremendous work on investigating how communism insinuates itself into our culture and into our institutions and so forth. In fact, he's working on a new movie right now called Enemies Within the Church, talking about how Marxism is now trying to insinuate its way into a lot of our conservative church bodies with, you know, ideas about critical race theory, which is nothing but a Marxist class warfare type attitude about how you approach issues of race. The same thing with regard to the whole LGBT movement and how, you know, you have to embrace their language and talk about it their way in order to make them feel comfortable. This is just a way of infiltrating these organizations and sapping them of their inherent conviction and adherence to the word of God. That's all it's about. But Trevor's an expert on all that. But anyway, there will be questions and answers at the end. So folks, if you tune in and you stick with us until the end, it's going to go from about 12 to 2. There'll be questions and answers from the audience. And in order to get your question addressed, you'll have to go through our Facebook page, because we won't be able to take questions from all of the many websites and various Facebook pages where it's going to be shown. So you have to be at EW Jackson SR in order to ask a question. But we're looking forward to that. Oh, and don't forget, and tomorrow we're going to administer the Citizen's Oath to the Constitution. Wow. Yes, the Citizen's Oath to the Constitution. I'm excited about that too. Okay. So look, folks, we're not just against Marxism, socialism, communism because it sounds cute, it's in vogue, it's cool. No. We are for the Constitution of the United States because we've lived under the most successful governing document in the history of mankind. And it has preserved the rights and freedoms of people for over two centuries in our country. And therefore, we are against anything that seeks to undermine or subvert that. And these ideologies I'm talking about that all spring from Marxism, they are inimical to everything our country represents. And here's a perfect example of it with this General Flynn case. You've got, one of the premises of our country is we're a nation of laws and not of men. And look, anybody listening to me has to admit, as I do, we have not done this perfectly. Of course we haven't. But I always follow up with this. Have you lived your life perfectly? You see, we've got to take this in context. It's not that America's a perfect country or can ever purport to be. But you've got to take us in the context of the world and history and ask the question, with all of its imperfection, where's the best place to live and thrive and fulfill your God-given potential, and pursue your dreams and ambitions? Where's the best place to do that? Well, the answer is quite obvious. Where's the best place to follow your convictions and your conscience, to say what you believe without fear of persecution or incarceration? Where's the best place for that? So no, we're not perfect. We haven't done everything perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I'll tell you what, I'll put us up against any other nation, not only on earth today, but that's ever existed. And I guarantee you, America's going to come out head and shoulders above the rest. And I'm talking about modern nations. Now, of course, you go back into ancient history, it's a whole different situation. And I've often told people, well, forgive me for free associating here, but this is I believe this is worth saying. I believe this is of the Holy Spirit. I've said many times in speeches I've given around the country, And people say, well, you know, America's original sin is slavery. I say, well, first of all, it's not original to America. Slavery existed as long as human history has existed, number one. Number one. Number two, slavery has been universal on every continent in the face of the on the face of the earth, and usually within the same demographic. In other words, Europeans enslaving other Europeans. I mean, everybody's seen Spartacus, right? Well, Spartacus was all about Europeans enslaving other Europeans. Africans enslaving other Africans, Asians enslaving other Asians. And just go right on down the line. I mean, you realize the Native Americans on this continent had slaves. They enslaved the people that they conquered. And people always, you know, try to really get, you know, cute about it. Well, yeah, but that it was a different kind of slavery. Well, I mean, so slavery is slavery, folks. And, you know, you want to tell the slave, oh, but then now, wait a minute, the slavery you have is not as bad as the slavery they had. I mean, that's just silly. In other words, it is not about race. It is about the human condition. It's not the skin. It's the sin. So, getting back to my main thesis, where's the best place to live? Where's the best place to thrive? Where's the best place to fulfill your God-given gifts and abilities? The United States of America, bar none. But we're not perfect. But here's in this situation that is facing facing General Michael Flynn right now, who has withdrawn his guilty plea because he's been alleging that the FBI abused its authority and entrapped him. And basically, we're now having documents emerging that show that that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. I mean, they sat around and discussed how to trap him into a lie or to get him to admit to violating the Logan Act, which, by the way, is a kind of esoteric old legislation that is never used to prosecute anybody today, but how to get him to violate the Logan Act so they could either get him fired or put him in prison. Now, folks, here's my point on this, and we're seeing it in the way they're behaving with this coronavirus deal. When people believe in an ideology that is based mainly on getting, accumulating, maintaining power over other people, anytime there's a challenge to that, what is their default? Their default is, do I have enough power to put this person away or to destroy this person completely? Because if I do, then that's what I'm going to do. You know, this is where conservatives, Bible-believing Christians in particular, are at a grave disadvantage for the left, because we actually do have standards. We actually do have morals. We actually do have compunctions. We actually don't want to destroy people because we disagree with them. We don't want to put somebody in jail who didn't do anything wrong because we don't like them. Because we all know we've got to stand before God and give an account for the deeds done in the body. And you're going to stand before God and justify that and have God smile on that or proof of that. But you see, the left doesn't have those restrictions in their character, in their convictions. Because for them, by any means necessary. So this man who has served our country, this man who has put on a uniform, put his life on the line for our country because they didn't like him. They didn't like the fact that he didn't agree with Obama's policies. They want to put the man in jail. They want to destroy him. And they're using the apparatus of government to do that. I just said we're not perfect, right? We're not. You know what the father of our Constitution, James Madison, said? Enlightened statesmen will not always be at the helm. And was he right? I mean, McCabe's wife got $700,000 in a campaign. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
If there is any subject a person needs to know how to deal effectively with in our tension-filled, hurried world, it is worry. Worry is an ever-present temptation and torment to modern man. What is worry? You know, it's not an easy word to define. But I feel we're safe if we define worry as undue concern. Not lack of concern now, but undue concern. It is difficult in this world in which we live not to have this undue concern. Worry may also be classified as a lack of security. When we aren't sure, lack security, we worry. Elizabeth Cheney wrote a poem which expresses this thought. This is the way she stated it. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why those anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Worry isn't valid concern. We need valid concern. We do not need a careless, what does it matter attitude. But we do need a genuine, valid, and sincere concern. One of the great evils of worry is that it is wasted energy. For often the things we spend time worrying about never come to pass. Someone has stated that the devil would continually have us crossing streams that do not exist. What then are the results of worry? Well, worry certainly doesn't help solve our problems or even cause them to change their nature. It is only expended energy. Worry hurts our physical bodies and saps our strength. A very large percentage of heart attacks, ulcers, and various other physical ills owe their existence to worry. Not only that, but worry creates a negative attitude in us, makes us look for the worst instead of the best. Worry causes us to see the thorns instead of the roses in the flower garden of life. My experience has been that the person who worries is continually looking for and expecting the worst. He simply doesn't enjoy life and in general makes life miserable for those around him. Worry also keeps us from being the creative person God wants us to be. No person can be at his best creatively if he's weighted down by worry. I guess the important question is this. How do we overcome worry? Well, we overcome worry through security. If a person has security, the tendency to worry disappears. We can get security by doing our best and leaving the rest to God. That man is blessed, wrote Charles Dickens, who does his best and leaves the rest. Then do not worry. Fear causes worry. Faith is the answer to fear. Thus, a genuinely deep-rooted faith in God is of very much practical help to modern man. Too many of us want to do our jobs all by ourselves. Consequently, we come to rely only on ourselves. We must learn to leave something for God. We can also overcome worry by going to work to prevent that which we worry about. Action is a good antidote for worry. When we tend to worry, trust God, get busy, and do our best, and then leave the rest to Him.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Just exploring this whole General Michael Flynn thing, I at the end of the program, I don't want to leave you hanging about what I was saying. Andrew McCabe, former acting director for the FBI, his wife ran for state senate here in Virginia, and she got from Terry McAuliffe, an operative for Hillary Clinton, Terry McAuliffe, former governor of Virginia, very, very close to the Clintons. His wife was running for state senate, folks, state senate. She got a $700,000 contribution from Terry McAuliffe. Now, here in Virginia, there are no limits on the amount you can give. It just has to be publicly disclosed, and that provides some restraint because, of course, people know that if the whole public knows it, then, you know, maybe you were bought. Well, I mean, $700,000 in a state Senate campaign? What does that suggest to you? That's a lot of money. And by the way, she lost. And you know what? You're not required to give that money back. Is there anybody who thinks that wasn't some kind of payoff? I mean, this is Andrew McCabe's wife. And then he's in there basically doing work for the Clinton administration, for the future Clinton administration, trying to destroy anybody who he thinks is a potential threat, including candidate Donald Trump. Hey, folks, this stuff is just highly, highly corrupt, and it's highly leftist. I mean, it's the way the left plays the game. The money corruption, the power corruption, the willingness to use the law enforcement mechanisms to hurt people, to punish people, to destroy people. This is bad stuff. And folks, this is what we face if we don't come back to a respect for the Constitution of the United States. Andrew McCabe is another one. He took an oath to the Constitution in order to serve in that role. I don't think he took it very seriously. Do you? Well, I think that taking this oath tomorrow, I think is going to send a signal to a lot of politicians that the American people take it very seriously. Because, you see, these politicians think, many of them, not all, of course, but they think they're above it all anyway. And it doesn't really matter. It only applies to you. You know, I've been listening to these leftists running around. We can't open the economy up. People are going to die, and you just can't do that. It's not. But you know what? The talking heads are doing this. Their paychecks are still coming in. They're doing just fine. But the 30 million people out of work. Well, you know, that's just a byproduct of doing what they think they need to do to save lives. It's folks, it's a travesty. We can save lives and we can get the economy going too. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can do it. And we need to keep pushing ahead in doing it. And here again, protecting the most vulnerable among us. But the reason why the left is continually beating that drum is they like the power. They like the control. They love it. It's like the dream of a lifetime. I get to control whether people can even go outside, what they can shop for, whether they can work or whether they have to take a check from the government. I get to decide that. And I think they're loving it. You know what, folks? They're in for a rude awakening, because I think that in the process, they are awakening a sleeping giant, and the American people are becoming more and more aware that we have an ideological problem in our country that is just unreal. I mean, unreal in its implications and unreal in the breadth and depth of its danger to this country. And now we're starting to see it rear its ugly head. It's coming out of the closet. It's coming up, and we're able to see it like we've never seen it before. And I think it's time to declare, you know what, Ben Franklin, when asked by Mrs. Powell, well, what have you given us, doctor? A monarchy or a republic? Remember his answer, a republic. If you can keep it. And I think it's time for the American people to stand up and say, you know what? By the grace of Almighty God, with everything that is within me, we are going to keep it. And no politician, no corrupt media is going to take it away from us. So, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. Look, there are a lot of other things we could talk about, but I want to get your calls in. 888-589-8840 is the number. The president may well pardon General Michael Flynn. I think he got into trouble because he apparently wasn't forthcoming with Vice President Pence about some dealings that he had, I think it was with Ukraine. with one foreign government. And I don't know whether he had done it a while ago and forgot, or whether he intentionally misled them. I don't know what the situation was, but it certainly wasn't a crime. He didn't commit a crime. I think the vice president felt that he just wasn't entirely forthcoming and didn't like it. And I think that was the beginning of the end of his career in the White House. But the effort to get him started long before that happened. So those two things have nothing to do with one another. And look, you can say, well, look, a man made a mistake in judgment. He should have been, you know, more forthcoming in an answer to his superior on the job. There's a difference between that and saying somebody committed a crime that's worthy of having them put in jail. Those are two very different things. If everybody who's ever said anything that they thought was or that turned out to be misleading or not entirely forthcoming or not so, shall we say, the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, if everybody who ever did that was called on the carpet and was threatened with prison, I think the whole country would be in jail probably. but that's not what his relationship with Vice President Pence was about. The FBI had, I mean, some of these leaders, I should say, in the FBI had just decided that they were going to get him one way or the other. And folks, it's just scary to think that people in law enforcement can have that kind of mindset. But here again, that's where some of the people on the left simply are. Remember, James Comey, an admitted former communist, folks, an admitted former communist. And so with that, I rest my case. I really do. Okay, let's come to your calls and get as many as we can. Let's go to Ricky in Louisiana. Ricky, welcome.
I hope you're having a good day there, Bishop Jackson.
Well, thank you. Hope you are too.
Appreciate your ministry, brother, and all your insight. Just listening to all this stuff over the FBI conspiracy, I was thinking to myself, man, this would make a great John Grisham novel for sure, but who would believe it? You know, who would thought that they would be putting our president and everyone under him through all this? And it just amazes me. And I'm praying that, just like the good book says, your sins will find you out, bro. I hope they all wind up choking on their own words. That's all I had to say, brother. I appreciate you so much.
Well, Ricky, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Appreciate your call, and you are absolutely right. I mean, I'd like to know, frankly, I'd like to see somebody investigate the $700,000 that Terry McAuliffe gave them. Because, folks, that much money, you can't tell me that much money was given because they looked at her and just thought, well, she's such a great candidate. And, I mean, she could possibly win. And then she lost anyway. I mean, I don't even know whether that was just a cover for getting the money to him. You know what I mean? And here again, I said when that whole thing broke, that McCabe should have said to his wife, honey, we can't take that money. We can't take it. I'm an FBI agent. We can't take that. Back in a moment.
We are all in the same boat. We are not all in the same storm.
Dr. Norm Wright on Focus on the Family Minute describing the emotional impact of the coronavirus.
For some people, it's sprinkling. This is a break. It's a breather. It's a rest, a pause, a time to reconnect with their families. Honestly, it's kind of peaceful, but for some others, it's a storm. It's a bit scary. It's disruptive. It's enough to make you stay up and watch the news and worry a bit. For some, it's a hurricane. It's tearing at boards. Pulling off roofs, it's washing them out to sea. It's not wrong to be enjoying a sprinkle or enduring a storm, but please don't negate the difference. Rest with your family, but don't minimize the hurricane engulfing your neighbor. Laugh when you can, but get on your knees for your friends.
More from Dr. Wright at familyminute.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Governors across the country are looking to open their states in hopes of allowing those who have lost their jobs and livelihood a chance to get back to work. AFR would like to tell the stories of working-class Americans who've had their businesses and lives impacted by the economic shutdown. We would also like to hear stories of those who've had their religious freedom limited due to the various orders across the country. Email us at mystory@afr.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, folks, we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go right to your calls. Let's go to Carol in Louisiana. Carol, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Do you not think that it's time that we could better utilize our Sunday schools if we taught American history along with biblical truth, because our country is unique and it was founded upon biblical truth, and a better Christian is a better citizen?
Look, I think, Carol, you are absolutely right. You may or may not be familiar with the Foundation for American Christian Education, FACE, founded by a friend of mine, Carol Adams. She's right here in our area. And what they try to do is something they call principled, I think it's called, my wife would know the exact name they have on it, but it's called it's principled education, where they basically teach American history. They teach the kind of virtue that the founding fathers believe were essential and are essential to a free people. And they weave that into American history so that you're being taught biblical principle, you're being taught American history. And the whole point is to shape the character of children coming out of that kind of educational experience to operate as effective citizens in a free nation. So, Carol, you are absolutely right. In fact, my wife just got finished teaching some of our students the preamble to the Constitution. So giving them a chance to memorize it, believe it or not. So yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Carol. We need to start using church to buttress the Christian roots of this nation, because therein lies the key to our future. If we lose that, we've lost America. Carol, thank you so much for the call. Let's see. Let's go to Jim in Arkansas. Jim, welcome.
Yes. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. Thanks.
I got two short thanks. Number one, I got my stimulus check, $1,200.
Okay.
And I am going to give that 10% plus to my church.
Amen.
We've got over 200 members. That's going to help us stay afloat during all this stuff. So that's something to think
good
about.
Good for you,
everybody,
Jim. Good for you.
The other thing is mail-in votes. Hey, I go to the cemetery tomorrow, I can get a lot of mail-in people to vote. I'm not a Democrat, so I can't do that. Democrats can do that.
Yeah, Jim, look, the whole thing of doing away with voter ID, which, by the way, folks, Virginia, through this new governor we've got, did away with voter ID. So you now no longer have to have an ID to vote. And we found another colleague of mine, Christian Adams, did a study and found in several counties 8,000 illegal immigrants on the rolls. 8,000. Folks, the only reason why these leftists are doing what they're doing is to cheat. That's all. I mean, come on. There's a voter ID is racist. Who are you? Who are we kidding? I mean, come on. There's nobody in this country who can't get an ID. I mean, that's preposterous. They want to cheat. And it's the same thing is true with mail-in votes. Sure. I mean, it's called ballot harvesting. You know, you basically make up as many votes as you need to make sure that you win an election. That's why I don't even buy the fact that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. I think a lot of those votes out in California are just absolutely manufactured. And I don't think they have any problem with it at all, as long as they get the result that they want. Voter integrity is that's not even in their vocabulary. Okay, let's go to excuse me, folks. It's not the coronavirus, it's dust. Let's go to John in Tennessee. John, welcome.
Well, Bishop, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
Just enjoying the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
I just got off the Rush Limbaugh show, and I'm this way I understood it, and you all want to check into it because I take it real serious about anything I tell. And the lady called in. Rush was out, and there's a guy taking over for him. And she was, I think, from Spokane, Washington, and she started talking about that they were going to, or they're already in the process of putting up tents in the state. And they were going to, I guess, go along on this coronavirus thing, setting up tents, and they were getting people regular citizens, and they're going to go out, and they call them tracers. I've never heard that word before, and they call them tracers, and they're going out, and the people that have been affected, or they're going out, or they test positive or something, they're going out to the people's houses, and they have the right to arrest them and take them to these tents. Now that sounds crazy, but the guy on the was on the show. He said, "Well, that's exactly how they did over in communist countries. They would take the citizenry, and they say we're doing this for your good and everything." And she said, "I understood." She said, "He's already done it around Spokane, well, Washington." And he did thank her for telling him because he didn't know about it.
Well, John, I will look into that, but I'll tell you why I don't dismiss that out of hand, because I had somebody say to my wife, actually, she told me about it, that they called their doctor, I think in New York, because they have some medical stuff, and this particular doctor is a specialist, and were told that if they came into the state, and don't hold me to the state, but I'm pretty sure it's New York, if they came into the state, that they would be forced to report them and they would be quarantined for 2 weeks for coming into the state. So this stuff has just gotten completely out of hand. And so nothing that anybody tells me at this point would surprise me. But I will take a look at that, John, and see exactly what's going on out there in Washington State. And they can be a little loopy out there anyway. Let's go to Donnie in Georgia. Donnie, welcome.
Hey there. Just wanted to touch base with you and see if you knew who was in charge in this country anymore. It seems that, and listen, I'm a Trump fan, was before he came down the escalator. But it seems to me that no matter what people do in high places, there's no justice. It seems that nobody gets put in jail for anything anymore. And yet we have a lot of young people in jail for having one joint of marijuana. It seems like it's gone to anarchy.
I mean, you're right, Donnie, in this sense. You got people who've committed violent crimes who are being let out because, after all, we have to let them out because we don't want the coronavirus to spread among the prison population or the deputies either. And so we let them out, and there have been numerous reports that they've gone out and committed murder, committed rape, and they end up right back in prison. It's almost as if basic common sense has gone out the window, and the most bizarre ideas are now acceptable and embraced by people. Donnie, to get back to your original question, who's in charge anymore? You know who's supposed to be in charge of the United States of America. It's supposed to be we, the people. And I think that's what we're up against. We're up against a group of folks who don't want that. You know, communism always comes in on the promise of empowering the proletariat, we the people. That's what they always say. You know, we the people are going to be in charge. What they really mean is the elites who know what's best for the people are going to be in charge and will control the people and dictate to the people. So we got a group of people functioning in our country right now. That's the way they think. So thanks for the call, Donnie. Let's go to Warren in Texas. Warren, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing on this beautiful day?
Yes, sir. Good.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. That's good. Better.
All right. I had to unplug my headphones. Anyhow, I got so many things to say, but I'm going to try and make it short and sweet. Monday, it wasn't on your show, but another talk show guy said that the hydroxychloroquine was effective inhibiting the SARS 2003 outbreak. He said, read the article. I read the article. That's incorrect. It did not. They did some tests on it, but nothing was written in stone. It was the end result was that it could possibly be an inhibitor. All right. Well, in 2016, another report came out that said hydroxychloroquine is not a treatment. There is no medicinal, it didn't say hydroxychloroquine, it said there's no medicinal treatment known for the SARS 2003 outbreak. All right, that's one thing I just want to clarify.
Okay.
The other, that on Tuesday, you had said that you had a 99.9% chance of either recovering or not being, I guess recovering. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Well, let me clarify exactly what I said. I said, based on everything we now know, 99% to 99.1. Now, the 99.1 is questionable. We can't say that yet, but I think most people would not dispute a 1% lethality rate. So, yes. So, about a 99% right. chance that if you get it, you would be fine. And for many of those people, of course, some of those people obviously will get sick. But for many of those people, they won't even know they have it, and some will just have mild symptoms. So, yeah, that's what I said.
And see, the extent of the exposure, that's going to determine how sick you get. That's something that back in 07, a girl, I was working for a customer service company, and a girl sat next to me. She said she had mixed Ajax and bleach cleaning a bathtub, which makes phosgene gas, which is deadly. And she was sick. I'm phosgene trained, so I stayed with her just in case she passed out. I could tell the EMTs. Well, lo and behold, didn't know it. The next day she came in. She didn't come in. I started getting a scratchy throat, and I'd been sitting by her for 8 hours. So I may as well got a
Warren,
blood transfusion.
Warren, I'm out of time. Are you a doctor, by the way?
Hey, I understand, but, hey, I want to say okay. One thing real
quick. I don't have time, Warren, but thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Call me back. Hey, listen, folks, thank you all for joining in. Join us for our live stream event tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern time. Go to EWJacksonSR. And in the meantime, remember that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.